So everyone knows Sean Penn, the actor, Taps, the Falcon and the Snowman, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He's a 5-time Best Actor nominee and a 2-time Oscar winner for Mystic River and Milk, a humanitarian who's done relief work in Haiti. Well, now Sean Penn's career has taken a novel turn. Ouch, sorry. His first novel, Bob Honey, Who Just Do Stuff, is out today. It's the story of Bob, a septic tank salesman in California, who as a kid loved to blow things up, dreamed of being a geologist, who, while exploring opportunities in waste management in Iraq, ends up a contract killer for a mysterious U.S. government agency that pays him to kill old people who are producing too much methane, which he does, kills them, with the mallet he once used as a carnival barker. But then he's hit by a blow dart by New Guineans in grass skirts in Miami, where, wait, that guy with the orange hair, is that Donald Trump? Bob Honey, Who Just Do Stuff, feels a little Dr. Strangelove, a little Chuck Palahniuk, maybe some Hunter Thompson, and we wondered, with all Sean Penn's intersections with the military and odd characters, maybe Bob is a little bit him. And Sean Penn joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And what the heck is going on here? What is this?
Well, I had come to a point where I looked back over the time I'd spent in movies, and I think that if I had a greatest strength, it was playing well with others. It was a collaborative interest and investment. However, cumulatively over time, I think that anybody who has an individual creative spirit to whatever degree, there's a time where you start to recognize that it is a great effort to play well with others, mm-hmm. and then find the time where you don't play well with others. And what it's really doing is there's a little push behind you saying you got to go and travel the road alone on something where you're not going to have the disappointments of what the dream was on a project that come simply as a result of they're not being expressed the way you want them to be expressed.
Right.
And so to write a book was to allow myself no kind of containment of the language or the music of a piece or the imagery which one seeks to share with a reader. So that's what led me into the solitude of writing.
We'll talk about the book's odd kind of history. Started out as an audio book, which we can't find anymore. You claimed that it was published by an author, Pappy Pariah. You made a documentary in which you said you'd met him at a writer's conference and the manuscript somehow found its way to your mother. What was that all about?
It was a time to deflect it from myself. I think what happened is once I got the name Bob Honey in my mind, this sort of rhythm of speech, and I don't mean of his speech, but of the novel speech started coming into my head. And it seemed a character of its own. And so there is a character in the book, Pappy Pariah. I gave this rhythm a name and then wrote the book with the notion that a character of the novel was writing it himself. And so there was a backstory attached to that. And when I put it out the first time, in hindsight, I would say I was kind of workshopping it. And it was a much abridged version of what the novel is. And it was something that I was I thought would be interesting to put out before the elections 2016.
Staying with this time when you were, other people were involved, Frances McDormand, it took on the feel of kind of performance art, some sort of elaborate, somebody called it a shenanigan. I just love that word. Saying that it came from somewhere else and you just stumbled on it, gave it a little more performance art feel to it.
I would have stopped with shenanigans. I would love. I will always love to be accused of bringing on the shenanigans
or capers. That's another good one. It was a caper, but then it became a real book and a real thing. And you're talking about how the writing came to you. This was happening in your head. You're hearing this guy's voice. And let me ask about the writing because it's complicated. So, for instance, here's a sentence. There's a pride to be had where the prejudicial is practiced with precision in the trenchant triage of tactile terminations. Or there's the use, you have an amazing vocabulary, either that or you're sitting there with a thesaurus or something. The voice in the book talks about someone who's absquatulated, which we looked up. It means left abruptly. Another time you refer to Bob's maturity of Tellurian years, meaning of or inhabiting the earth. At another point, he has a fleeting cerebration. Why not just say brief thought?
I think that some kind of avoidance of conceit. There's become a culture that's contained language too much. I was, if nothing else, deeply invested in making myself giggle while I was writing. And so in describing things familiar and simple, there's something in language itself that pushed far enough gets funny. I remember I made a movie one time, which was meant to be a kind of black comedy, and the director had shot an enormous amount of violence in one of the scenes. And based on the number of hits alone with the foreign object on somebody's head, it was very funny when there were a lot of them. But when producers looked at it, they said, well, you know, this is just too violent because you're hitting them 25 times. Bring it down to 3. And when they brought it down to 3, it became much realer. There wasn't anything funny about it anymore. Hmm. And I think that this is true also for me. It's true with language that pushed far enough. It makes me laugh. Let me put it that way.
Hmm. But staying with writing, the footnotes, number 33, refers to Harris L. Harris, the giantess girl band bodyguards who made up the personal protection detail of Muammar Gaddafi. Number 53 refers to a soap chip, which you define as a psychological operations tactic where fake communiques are intended to demoralize combatants. Did you know this stuff? Is this stuff you've come across and been making note cards on this for a while? Are they all true?
I don't want to get into whether they're all true. But what I will say is when I went to work in Haiti in 2010, there were a lot of people that became friends who were either military, former military, intelligence officers, etc., who I came to know very well and spend a lot of social time with. And there were things in their conversations that I would often have to say, what is that? And it was a fascinating language that they spoke. And so I kind of nomenclature. And so that stuff is the kind of rhythmic things that I'm typically interested in. And I came to understand what many of them were. In other cases, I would have to do a little research.
Well, a lot of it is military. I'm looking at another footnote, mother-in-law's clothesline. That's a colloquialism for an explosive that you explain. Tell us about that. You know, what interests Sean Penn? Because you mentioned going to Haiti, your terrific work there. Also, we know that you've published interviews with Fidel Castro, former Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. You have characters in the book. It's just, again, wild. And, you know, it could happen where your character Bob is on a boat in the ocean. I think it's outside Iraq. And suddenly the guy swims up who's escaped a prison. He's a suspected drug dealer. He shares an interest with Bob in tunneling. And, of course, we immediately think of El Chapo, who you also interviewed. He was captured soon after. What's grabbing you? What's going on here?
Well, I don't think anything's going on that's any different than any writer where you take you know, we live the life that we live, and then there may be flares of exaggeration or play in a styled novel like this that may touch on things that had a real base. But some things came as a direct response to a kind of what I thought was a ridiculous proposition that had come my way many times since I was about 30 years old, which was to write a memoir. And I think that, you know, you get to your final days, maybe you've lived 70 or 80 years, and there's something to share there, then I think a memoir might be of some value. To me, it was embarrassing to consider. However, if you're going to enjoy some play with something and have a sense of humor about it in a broad and fictional way, you may well tap into things that you've lived.
Hmm. So you've written a novel. You seem to be moving into more serious kind of reporting issues, doing interview issues. You've said that it's just you want to have a little more control over the entire thing. Does this mean, no more acting?
Well, I'm not in, here to announce my retirement. I could say that it would take a wonderful piece of material, a world of money, and very few days of shooting to complete a project that would have me. I don't enjoy it anymore. I think it's just simple as that. And I'm finding myself enjoying writing tremendously.
Huh. Well, and the new novel is Bob Honey, Who Just Do Stuff. It's something he's asked, what do you do? He says, I just do stuff. Sean Penn, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
In Sean's novel, a helicopter piloted by a terrorist crashes into Bob's annoying neighbor's house, killing her. Well, we are following a story that Sean Penn could have made up. The real 8.5-ton Chinese space station hurtling out of control toward Earth. We wanted to tell you about it. Scientists say it could crash into the atmosphere as soon as Friday. Most space debris usually re-enters on a controlled descent and either burns up or splashes down in a remote part of the South Pacific known as the Spacecraft Cemetery. But in 2016, the Chinese announced they'd lost control of this space station and it could crash on land. In November, we spoke with the head of the European Space Agency's Space Debris Officer, Holger Krog.
We should not imagine this like the impact of a meteoroid. A meteoroid will punch a crater into the ground. Mm. If you're lucky, we will find stuff lying on the ground. More likely, it will be in water and never be seen.
Well, still, it could hit you with the same likelihood of being struck by lightning twice in 1 year, or all that stuff in Sean Penn's novel. So, heads up.